County campus. We're excited for you to join us, and those of you watching online, God is doing so many amazing things. And I want to take a second and just say we worship and believe in a God that operates at a level that we could never begin to understand or comprehend. And He is the only thing that holds all of this together. And so I just want us to just acknowledge Him as we start this. Let's just give Him a hand. You are blessed today. You are blessed. And we've got an exciting message for you today as we continue our At the Movies series. Pastor Ricky kicked it off last week with talking about characters. And this week we're going to go into the journey that all of us take. And so as we get started with that, I want us to take our Bibles out and let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We got some people wanting to do some word going on in here. Daniel chapter 1. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how active, how powerful it is, and how, Lord, it meets us right where we're at. Lord, we thank You for the fact that we can rest that You're in control. And Lord, when everything around us is swirling and going in different directions, I pray that we would remain firm in our foundation, which is You and Your Word. And so, Father, right now, as we dive in and pursue what You have for us, I pray that we would just be open to whatever it is that You want to speak to us about today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's read Daniel 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered, don't even try and pronounce that, Penez, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered them to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years at the end, with which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them were the sons of Judah were Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, just as we get started here and kick this thing off, we've got to, first of all, understand that Babylon attacks Jerusalem, takes them into slavery, and when this happens, there is a young guy around the age of 15 or 16 named Daniel. Okay, now Daniel's taken in, and one of the things we always want to do when we read this is try and put ourselves in the mindset of what's going on. And so just imagine yourself, you're Daniel, you're facing this, you don't know what to do, you're now a slave, your whole world is turned upside down. Everything. You're taken away from your family. And so he walks into this situation, and he's even given a new name. I mean, your identity is changed. And it's a very difficult situation. And as we get into our movie, the movie we're going to go through today is The Pursuit of Happiness. And the individual that we're going to be focusing on is Chris Gardner. He's the husband. His wife's name is Linda, and they have a son named Christopher. And Chris, the father, grew up in a fatherless home, and he'll stop at nothing to be a vital role in his son's life. And so Chris has been selling, when we pick this scene up, he's been selling these portable bone density scanners. And what they were is it gave a slightly denser picture than an X-ray machine, and it costed twice the amount of money. And so he's poured all his family's resources into purchasing these so that he can sell them to make profit. The only problem is he hasn't been making any money off them because he hasn't been able to sell them. So they're in a difficult situation. Family is facing financial crisis. His wife, Linda's working double shifts. She's been doing that for 4 months. And this movie is based off a true story, and it picks up in 1981. And so I want to turn your attention to our screens with our first clip.
Hey.
Hey, baby.
What happened?
No, nothing. Look, I can't get Christopher today.
Oh, no, you don't, Chris. I'm back on at 7.
I know. I've got to go to Oakland.
So I gotta get Christopher home, feed him, bathe him, get him in bed, and be back here by 7.
Yes.
And we got the tax bill notice today.
All right.
What are you gonna do about that?
This is what we gotta do. See that car? One with the pretty yellow shoe on it? That's mine. There's no parking near hospitals. That's what happens when you're always in a rush.
Thanks anyway, very much. Maybe next quarter.
It's possible.
I needed to sell at least 2 scanners a month for rent and daycare. I'd have to sell one more to pay off all of those tickets under my windshield wiper. The problem is, I haven't sold any for a while.
Well, that's an encouraging first scene. Man, how many of you have ever felt like a prisoner to either your job or your circumstances? North County, how many of you have ever felt that way? It's difficult. It's hard. You're stuck in this job and you have to do it and you hate it and you feel like you're this prisoner, or maybe it's something that's happened in your family, happened in your life, and you don't see any way out of it. Or maybe it's just something you've been forced to do that you just do not want to do. That's a part of your life right now. I remember for me, at one point in time, and this will shock you, I was playing basketball in college, and I transferred schools, and when there's a rule in transferring within the division I was in that you could not get money, scholarship money for that same sport, if you had to sit out a year to get that money. So they're like, hey, transfer to this school, and we'll put you on the cross-country team in the fall to get some money. And I was like, well, I don't run cross-country. And they're like, just do the practice. So, okay. Show up to cross country, to college cross country, and we start practicing and all that. And they're like, no, you need to actually run in the event. And I'm like, run in the event? Are you kidding? So I have to actually compete in these cross country. And the thing about cross country in college is it's not like you run against the same size schools, or it's like, okay, this is the really bad runners, and then the really good runners run in a separate race. It's like everyone together. And so you're just like, oh, this is going to be bad. This is really, really bad right now. And so, you know, and so I start running, and I'm telling you, race after race after race. It was miserable. I was like last. I mean, people are passing me running with their dogs and stuff along the same trail. I mean, it was just depressing. But there's one race where it came together. I'm running, and I swear, Chariots of Fire, the soundtrack, just started going. And it was just like, and I'm running, and I mean, I'm feeling really good. And like, for me to feel really good, it means people are within sight, okay? And so I'm running, I'm seeing people around me, and I'm like, man, There's the finish line. I'm taking off. And so I start sprinting in a dead sprint. You know, I mean, now it's like probably the Rocky soundtrack, you know. And I'm going full tilt. And all of a sudden, one of my coaches is over here. And I could hear it as I was sprinting because he goes, "What are you doing?" I thought I had 100 yards. There was actually another mile left. And needless to say, the finish, they thought they were going to have to ambulance me out of there. But I remember being forced into that situation, and I'm running, and I despised it. But that was the circumstances that I found myself in. And a lot of us, we find ourselves, and we're slaves to something. Whether it's work, circumstances, or maybe it's a specific sin in your life that you find right now, you are a slave to that, whatever it is. And maybe it's just something in your life that you feel like you feel like you can't get out of it, but maybe it's something to where we're just really honestly, we just have to have that time where we go, "Man, I'm just really being lazy right now." And it hurts. Number one in your notes is, in our journey, we need to identify what we are a slave to. We need to identify what we are a slave to. What is it right now that has a hold of you? What is it that has a hold of you? And I want to pick up again in Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 21. 8 through 21, and it says this, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king.'" Literally, that's his head to the king. "But Daniel said to the overseer whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, 'Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and dealing with your servants according to what you see.' So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better than, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king." Daniel and his companions do something that none of the other youth are doing. They're standing up for their faith and what they believe in and what they know to be right. And they know they're not supposed to be eating food that's sacrificed to idols. And so what happens is they trust God in this, even though it doesn't make sense. It's not the best food. I mean, you heard it, man. I mean, if there's a plate with a steak on it and some broccoli, you're going for the steak. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. And so they go through this tension, and they end up sacrificing, saying, God's got this. I'm going to look beyond what I can see and know and trust in his call on my life. And they end up getting blessed because of it. And number two in your notes is, we can't compare our journey to other people's journey. We can't compare our journey to other people's journey. And with that, I want to turn your attention to our next clip on our screens.
Man, I got two questions for you. What do you do, and how do you do it?
I'm a stockbroker.
Stockbroker?
Oh.
I had to go to college to be a stockbroker, huh?
You don't have to. I had to be good with numbers and good with people. That's it.
Hey, you take care. Hey, I'm gonna let you hang on to my car for the weekend, but I need it back for Monday.
Feed the meter.
I still remember that moment. They all looked so happy to me. Why couldn't I look like that?
It's so hard to live in San Diego. Isn't it? It's so hard to. I mean, you go to a dealership, you've been saving up. You get this car that you've been wanting, you and, I don't know, your girlfriend, your boy, or your husband, your wife, and you're pulling out, and you're like, you're feeling pretty good. I mean, it's like, this just happened. This is my ride. And then you pull up to a stoplight, and then right beside you pulls up, I don't know, like a Ferrari, and then another ridiculous car, and you just look to the side and go, and then you go, seriously? Wow, I stink, you know? And then you're back in that same state. Or it's like you've saved up and you're like, oh my goodness, we finally got a house. We finally got a house. Or we got a condo. And we are so excited. We finally bought this. Everything's come together. And then some people from church, of course, invite us over. And we go over to their house. And it's like cribs. It is like mansions. And you walk in. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, all right, honey, let's go. Let's go back to our shack. Praise God. And I mean, it's just, it's honestly depressing. And we look at all these things. Oh, man, I mean, the commercials at Christmas time, I tell you what, those tick me off the most. I'm sorry. I just have to have a moment. I mean, they walk outside and there's a big bow on a Lexus. Are you kidding? Really? I see that and I just go, thanks for ruining my Christmas. Appreciate that. I mean, really, if that's happened to you, please don't raise your hand because we'll probably take you out, okay? But that stuff, man, I see that and I just get caught up in it. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have that? Why can't I be like that? You know, we do that too with relationships. And we're like, man, my relationship's going really well. And then we see someone else and they're just like attached at the hip, you know, everything. Her ring is like 3 times the size of yours. I mean, everything. And it's just like, man, where do I fit in this? We get so caught up in looking at other people. And I want to encourage us. We cannot do that. And even more, we can't do that in our relationship with Christ. We can't get up, caught up in looking at other people and going, man, they have it together. Or man, their relationship with God is just so much better than mine. Man, what's going on there? Why can't I have that? Listen, you can have that. But I want to encourage you with something even more impactful. God has a specific plan and purpose for you on an individual level. And it's special and it's designed for you. And he's got your best interests in mind. That's the kind of God we serve. And for some of you, you need to hear today that that needs to be enough for you. He knows what's going to satisfy you. He knows. He's got your best interests in mind. We need to relish that. We need to be excited about that. And we pick up again in Daniel chapter 6 now. We jump ahead here. And in Daniel chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 4 through 11. Chapter 6, 4 through 11, it says this: then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, this is just suck up all over it. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish this injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document that is the injunction. Now, when Daniel heard and knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication to his God. So Daniel has been successful, okay? He's grown in knowledge, he's interpreted dreams, he just keeps getting raised up. And so these other individuals, these other leaders are jealous, they're envious, they don't like it, they don't like his faith, they don't like his belief. And so what they do is they come up with this elaborate plan to go to the king and say, King, oh, live forever. We love you. And then they say, and King, we love you so much that we don't think anyone should worship anybody else but you for 30 days. And the king's like, hey, okay. I mean, that sounds good. Everybody's agree? Yeah, everybody's agree with this. Let's make this a law. And so they make that law. And so Daniel, once again, he does not let law or those things change what God has called him to do. He doesn't let it change his relationship with his Savior. When everything is swirling around you, you cannot let that change either what God's called you to do, or you can't let it change your relationship with him and how you interact with him. And Daniel made that, he made that firm foundation and that trust. So he trusted that with that his God was bigger than anything or any man-made law. And he knew that regardless, God's will is going to be accomplished. For some of you today, you need to just know, regardless, God's will is going to be accomplished. In this next clip that we're going to go to, Chris's wife has left him. And he was painting his apartment when the police show up. And they come and he gets arrested for failing to pay his parking tickets and his car is repossessed. And he has to stay the night in the jail. And then the worst part is he's got to interview this next day at Dean Witter for this internship that he's just dying to get. And so we're going to check out this clip as he barely runs in time for this interview.
Mr. Garvin.
Pleasure. I've been sitting out there for the last half hour trying to come up with a story that would explain my being here dressed like this. And I wanted to come up with a story that would demonstrate qualities that I'm sure you all admire here, like earnestness or diligence or team playing to something. And I couldn't think of anything. So the truth is, I was arrested for failure to pay parking tickets.
Parking tickets?
And I ran all the way here from the Polk station, the police station.
What were you doing before you were arrested?
I was painting my apartment.
Is it dry now?
I hope so.
Jay says you're pretty determined.
Oh, he's been waiting outside the front of the building with some 40-pound gizmo for over a month.
He said you're smart.
I like to think so.
And you want to learn this business?
Yes, sir, I want to learn this business.
Have you already started learning on your own?
Absolutely.
Jay.
Yes, sir.
How many times have you seen Chris?
know, I don't know. One too many, apparently.
Is he ever dressed like this?
No. No. Jacket and tie.
First in your class? In school? High school?
Yes, sir.
How many are in the class?
12. It was a small town.
I'll say.
But I was also first in my radar class in the Navy, and that was a class of 20. Can I say something? I'm the type of person, if you ask me a question and I don't know the answer, I'm gonna tell you that I don't know. But I bet you what? I know how to find the answer, and I will find the answer. Is that fair enough?
Chris, what would you say if a guy walked in for an interview without a shirt on? And I hired him. What would you say?
He must have had on some really nice pants.
Chris, I don't know how you did it dressed as a garbage man, but you really pulled it off in there.
Thank you very much, Mr. Twistle.
Hey, now you can call me Jay. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Amazing. Number three in your notes, in spite of our circumstances, God can accomplish his will. There seemed to be no way he could get that internship. No way. Dressed like that, sprinting from prison, from jail to there, and he ends up getting that anyway. And I think the thing that we just need to encourage each other with is we cannot let our current circumstances deter us from what God has called us to do. Don't be afraid to push forward with confidence. God's got a plan that is so much bigger than what you and I can see. Trust that he will take care of you. He won't let you fail what he's called you to do. He won't. I remember I knew God was calling me into full-time ministry, so I went after the biggest, most important job that is available at a church. I became a junior high intern. And I remember as I led that junior high ministry for the summer for that youth pastor, I remember going through that and I hated every minute of it. I remember we played dodgeball almost every time there was a game time just so I could throw balls at them. And I'm just being transparent. We're open and honest here. And I love you kids if you're watching. But just honest. And so that whole summer kept going. And it was just like, man, you know, the big event is the summer camp. That's the last event. And so I'm like, yes, that. And then I can peace out into the sunset and go back to school. And so I take them to camp. And I remember very distinctly the camp speaker just hitting home with these kids. These kids that I was just like detested. And I watched as these kids' hearts just broke. And I watched as during his invitation, the kids that I was overseeing just started walking out of the tent, just bawling. And I remember going over and meeting with one. And as I'm meeting with one, a bunch more come over. And they're just surrendering their lives to Christ. And I remember in that moment going, what else could I ever want to do with my life? What else? And that's the way it started for me. But we need to just understand how God works. If he's called you to do something, he's going to confirm it. He's going to make it happen. And no matter how you're feeling or what your current circumstances look like, we've got to trust him. He's so much bigger. He's so much better than anything you can see or imagine. And we continue back in Daniel 6. In Daniel 6, verses 16 and 17, it says this. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. So they arrest Daniel, And then they throw him into the lion's den. Okay, now some of you are like, I know the story. No. Let's stop right there. They take him, they throw him into the lion's den. This isn't like Simba waiting for him, okay? This is real. This is a crazy fear right now. All right? This is death. This is death. They're throwing him to his death. You know, so maybe you just need to understand it this way. Okay, imagine if this same law was put into place and they said, if you are caught doing this, we're going to take you and we're going to drop you into Shamu's tank. Yeah, for those of you that aren't from San Diego, it's a killer whale in a fish tank. Good luck with that, okay? But it represented death. It represented fear. It represented all these unknowns to Daniel. Yes, you know, I trust you, God. I know that you can do anything, but those are lions and they're hungry and I'm going to them and there's no way out of this. And some of us here, we find ourselves in that same place. And I want us right now to go back to the movie. And as we go back to the movie, Chris now has been working at that internship. But the problem was he found out the internship doesn't pay. And so he hasn't been making any money. And he's got one more of those bone density scanners left that he's trying to sell. But he's out of his money. And the scene we're going to pick up on is he's just come home with his son Christopher. And they go to the hotel that they were staying at. And they see all their stuff is outside of the hotel. His wife has left him everything. And as his stuff's outside of that hotel, they go and they start wandering around because they don't know what to do next. And I'm going to turn your attention now to the screens.
I don't know.
It's not a time machine. Dad, it's not a time machine. The guy said it was a time machine. It's not a time machine. He was wrong.
What guy?
Guy, he was at the park. He said it was a time machine.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not.
All we gotta do is push this black button right here. Want to push it?
Okay.
Come on. Come on, man. Right here. Wait a minute. Where you want to go?
Almost some place from before.
You gotta close your eyes.
You close your eyes. I want to see.
All right, come on, we'll push it together. You gotta close your eyes, close your eyes. It takes a few seconds. Oh my goodness. What? Open, open, open.
Oh. What is it?
Dinosaurs.
Where?
You don't see all these dinosaurs? Look around. Look at all these dinosaurs. Wow. Did you see them?
Yeah.
Right, come on, come on, come on. Wait, watch out.
What is it?
Don't step in the fire. We're cavemen. And we need this fire because there's no electricity and it's cold out here, okay?
Watch out, watch
Whoa,
out.
Oh my goodness, a T-Rex. That's a T. Get your stuff. Get your stuff. Get it. We gotta find someplace safe.
Like what?
We need it. A cave.
A cave?
We gotta find a cave. Come on. Come on, come on. Wait, watch your back. We got, here it is. Here's a cave. Come on. Right here, right here. Go, go, go. Get it, get it. Hurry, hurry. Hurry.
Are we safe?
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
such a tough scene to leave you with. You know, it's kind of like just, you know, as we talked about Daniel facing that ultimate uncertainty of being tossed in. But I think it's important and it's critical that we do end with that scene, because I think there's a lot of us that are here, whether you're at this campus or other campus or you're watching online, and you say, that's where I'm at right now. I keep seeing these Disney endings and all this, and I just wonder, when is that going to happen for me? When is that going to happen in my life? I'm in this situation. I don't know what's going on. I can't see a way out. And it just seems to get worse. It doesn't seem to get better. I'm trying to trust God. It just seems like it gets worse. And now I'm doubting God. I'm doubting Him. And number four in your notes is, our view of the ending is God's view of the beginning. And I just want to encourage you right now, if you find yourself in that place here today, right now, you just need to hear this. God is not done yet. He's not done yet. And I just want to read to you these couple verses here. In Romans 8, 35 through 37, he says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. No matter what you're going through, I mean, do you understand that? You have the key. You have it. You know, how you came in doesn't have to be how you walk out of here. It doesn't have to be that way. God's got this special plan and purpose for you. And it's time that we embrace that and we surrender to that and we allow Him to do what He wants with that. And we trust Him in that. You know, I've been watching the Olympics and I love it. And I mean, I don't even care what country it is. When someone gets a gold medal, I'm just like, I mean, it's just to watch them and just go through that. Of all the training, all the hard work, everything. And then, but what I've enjoyed even more than watching people get the gold medals is seeing these stories on these athletes' lives and seeing them at their lowest point, facing injury, facing the disappointment from something else, seemingly with their lives ruined, and yet this redemption story has taken place. And I start thinking, what about us who claim to have this relationship with Christ and we're at the bottom today? And maybe we relate really well with that last scene when that little boy says, Dad, where are we going? And Chris says back to him, I don't know where we're going. And maybe that's you. And you're just like, everything's around me, everything's surrounding us. Every time I turn here, turn there, there's another obstacle. And I've given up. I don't know where to turn right now. I'm lost. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in church. I don't know what to do anymore. But it's not getting better. I want to encourage you today, before you leave, to right now, allow God to work in your heart and in your life. And allow Him to fill you up with all that He is. Because sometimes He just needs to get rid of some of this ugliness that's inside of us that we're still clinging to. And as we close today, and we're going to close the same way in North County as well, what's going to happen is I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to encourage everyone to stand up. And what we're going to do is I'm going to have the band, and they're going to play a worship song for us. And I don't want us to miss this, because during that worship song, when everyone stood and worshiping, if God is tugging at your heart and He's saying, now is that time. Now is that time that you deal with this. Now is the time to finally say, I trust you with this, God. Now is the time to really surrender. And trust me, He's so big. He's so big. And so I'm going to ask, as we sing that worship song, we're going to have pastors and leaders up here. If that's you and you need it for whatever reason that He's working on you, come forward and either get prayer or talk to somebody. It's too important, the stakes are too high, and it's so much bigger than you right now. Trust Him. this morning. Let me pray for all of us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons. We thank you for the journey. Lord, some of us right now are not thankful for the journey. But Lord, you will not let us fail in what you've called us to do. And so, Father, right now, I pray that if there's some of us that have wandered off course, that we would come back to that. I pray that for some of us, that we would just come back to you and say, I'm tired of trying to figure this out and winning on my own. I pray and I trust you, God, right now with where I'm at, and I release and I say, I trust you. I pray right now, Father, that you would eliminate any distraction or anything that Satan wants to try to use to distract or distort your message for these people on an individual level. We love you, Lord, and we pray for lives to change even now. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask everyone to just stand with me. We've got people up front. They're going to lead us in this worship song. As they lead us, let God work on you. And if you need to come forward to one of these individuals and let them walk you through the next steps. And then I'll come up and dismiss us. Let's sing to him.
My heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name.
God loves you so, so, so much. So much. And I hope that today you're just encouraged and empowered in knowing that you aren't alone and that he can be trusted. He can be trusted. No matter what you're seeing right in front of you, no matter what you're facing, our God, he's got this. He's got this. Trust him. Please. And come back to him. Come back to him. Come back to where you've wandered from. Thank you for coming this morning. If you still need to come down and talk to somebody, they're here for you, okay? God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great week.